So here's man struggling through the ages. Just think of over the centuries, how many ships went down and how many sailors died at the bottom of the sea for lack of a compass. Well, that's just the paradigm of what mankind has gone through. With no capacity to tell truth from falsehood, then man stumbles and cannot tell the sheep from the wolf. So, as Christ said, the cot for the wolf in sheep's clothing, but he didn't teach kinesiology and tell you how to discern which sheep's clothing has a wolf in it. So, for the first time, we discovered how to tell truth from falsehood. That was so shocking that I really didn't know what to do with it for quite a while. And then we began to verify it with thousands of experiments. And we tried it with large classes, we tried it with research groups. We ended up calibrating the levels of consciousness, which is well known now as the map of consciousness. We discovered that things that make you go weak on a scale of consciousness could be calibrated numerically. And so we ended up with a logarithmic scale of consciousness that goes from 1 to 1,000, against which we can calibrate the level of truth of anything. So as I said, I didn't say anything about all of this for, 30 years. The problem was how to present it in such a way that is comprehensible, and how does it correlate with traditional spiritual trainings and teachings and belief systems. So kinesiology then led to a way in which you could create a ladder to go from the intellect to the ordinary mind to spiritual realities. And of course, the person who gets caught in the intellect can't get beyond it. In fact, only maybe 4% of the human population ever gets beyond intellect, gets beyond the calibrated level of the 400s. So the intellect, on the one hand, is the great savior of mankind, certainly Western civilization, but it then becomes the very block to spiritual awareness. So we then discovered that with kinesiology, one could actually calibrate levels of consciousness, and created this scale that goes from 1 to 1,000. And we could ask, the energy of something is over a certain number. So what came out of it was an arbitrary scale, turned out to be 1 to 1,000, and the numbers turn out to be logarithmic because they become so huge that we had to go back to the log of the number. And we discovered that things that made your arm go strong on a scale, anybody can do this at home, you can see on a scale of 1 to 5, this is a 2 or a 3 or a 4. Anybody can construct their own scale. But with a lot of research, we devised a scale that's pretty useful, much like a centigrade scale of temperature, etc. We found that anything makes your arm go strong with kinesiology calibrated over 200. Everything that made your arm go weak calibrated under 200. So then we'd say, on a scale of truth, does this calibrate over 100, 200, 300, and suddenly your arm would go strong. So by experimentation with large groups of people over a considerable amount of time, we verified a very reliable scale of consciousness, 1 to 1,000. And anything that calibrates over 200, which is true or integrous or supports life, and that which is non-integrous, that which is false, makes your arm go weak, and it calibrated under 200. Well, that was certainly extremely useful. So we could hold up something in front of an audience, and we could divide the audience, and we did it many times. I've had an audience of 1,000 people. We divided up into 500 couples. One is the test subject, and the other plays the part of the doctor, And then we hold various things over their solar plexus, or we can hold something up and have the audience look at it. So one time we did it in Korea, for instance, and we were just teaching kinesiology. And we had a large class, and I didn't know what they were going to hold up. We divided up into ones and twos. Dr. Moon held up a bag of some kind of green veggie, and we all looked at it, and everybody went strong. Then she held up an identical-looking bag, same green veggie, and everybody looked at it and went weak. And I said, so what was in it? She said, well, the first one was organic cabbage, and the second one was raised with pesticides. So no physical contact, you see, just the contact through consciousness itself, to merely hold in mind something, you can then test it with kinesiology. You can say this is above 200 or this is below 200. You can say bin Laden is over 200 or he's under 200. You can say Saddam Hussein is over 200, under 200. So, in other words, you can end up calibrating anything that exists anywhere in time or place merely by holding it in mind. So this seems sort of magical to people who are not familiar with consciousness, but when you realize that consciousness is what dominates all of experience, dominates all of life, dominates all of decisions, dominates everything in life as we experience it, it shouldn't be surprising. People who live within the Newtonian paradigm of form, may find this quite surprising, because they are looking at causality and looking at a very limited world. Yeah, but they're looking at the world of form and the world of force. And existence and life comes out of power. So the infinite reality out of which life arises then is an infinite power which classically has been called God, despite people's not wanting to have the term used because it makes them uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable that people are made uncomfortable by the term. But divinity, that sounds less objectionable. Anyway, there is an infinite field of consciousness, which has also been described by advanced physics. And David Bohm, to my mind, has the best understanding of physics, because experientially he described that which is literally the experience. Out of the unmanifest arises the manifest, and you see a recapitulation of the story of creation. And as one goes into that awareness oneself, one sees all that exists is arising out of an infinite power out of which the capacity to exist arises. So then one either assumes that one arose out of spontaneous combustion somewhere within linear time, or one begins to realize that creation and evolution are one and the same thing. There's an appreciation that that which exists must arise out of an infinite power. See, that which we accept as a given without looking at it, you say, how does anything come into existence? How does even the capacity to be aware or conscious come into existence? One can strain the intellect and try to look at an infinite progression of causality, which, of course, is the classic way of doing it, to go back through causes to a primary cause. But then one ends up at the limitation of the ego, because beyond primary cause, what is the primary cause? And you discover that in an infinite sequence of causes, the primary is of a different class. You have to jump the class. So the source of existence, then, is the presence of divinity of the present moment. That existence is continuous because the presence of divinity is continuous. One's existence is constantly being sustained by the infinite power of the field, out of which existence becomes a possibility. The value of the calibrated levels of consciousness was we could integrate that with spiritual history, with common human experience, with psychology, psychiatry. And we found that human emotions could be calibrated. And so we calibrated what is the level of fear, what's the level of depression, apathy, hopelessness, anger, pride, which in psychoanalysis, these were called the emergency emotions, fear, anxiety, hate. We found that they all calibrated below 200. And so we were able to calibrate the negative emotions. Then, that which is called in psychoanalysis, the welfare emotions, integrity, caringness, love, ambition, dedication, helpfulness, and then we get to the intellect, the capacity to comprehend the nature of things within the Newtonian paradigm of reality. And that's the world of the intellect.